It's Dakota Midday. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 40 years ago today, shortly after midnight, in a ballroom at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, Senator Robert F. Kennedy was shot in the head at close range by Sirhan Sirhan. Following the shooting, Kennedy was rushed to the hospital, where he died the next day. Kennedy was a candidate for president, and that night had won both the California and South Dakota Democratic primaries. His South Dakota primary victory was considered a coup, since both of his opponents, Eugene McCarthy and Hubert Humphrey, were from Minnesota. And compounding the advantage for Humphrey is the fact that he was originally from Dolan, South Dakota. Kennedy's win in California was considered a major victory. He addressed his supporters in Los Angeles in the early morning hours of June 5, 1968. He then left the ballroom through a service area to greet supporters working in the hotel's kitchen. It was in a crowded kitchen passageway that the tragic events unfolded.
I thank to all of you and I was on to Chicago and I'm going to
somebody shot Robert. What?
Oh, my God. Senator Kennedy has been shot in the head. I am right here. Raper Johnson has a hold of a man who apparently has fired the shot. He has fired the shot. He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me at this moment. I hope they can get the gun out of his hand. Be very careful. Get the gun. Get the gun. Get the gun. Stay away from the gun. Stay away from the gun. His hand is frozen. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to. Get his thumb. Okay, now hold on to the guy. Hold on to him. Hold on to him, ladies and gentlemen. They have the gun away from the man. In this truck. They've got the gun. I can't see. I can't see the man. I can't see who it is.
That was 40 years ago today. We are now joined by former South Dakota Senator George McGovern, who, as I mentioned, was a colleague in the Senate, a colleague of Senator Robert Kennedy, who was representing the state of New York. First of all, Senator McGovern, welcome back to Dakota Midday. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine. We're having a rainstorm here in Mitchell at the moment, but I guess we can use the rain.
Yes, it's rainy in many parts of the state, including here from our studios in Vermilion. I guess the first question would be, where were you when you heard that Bobby Kennedy was shot?
I was in Washington, D.C. We had votes scheduled at that time, so I had been in South Dakota. In fact, I was with Senator Kennedy on his last visit to the state, which ended at the Mitchell Corn Palace. But when I learned he was killed, Washington, D.C. time is 3 hours ahead of California time, so I was in bed asleep when I was awakened by a telephone call from one of my aides, Jeff Smith, to tell me that Senator Kennedy had been shot.
And what was your reaction? I mean, this was just 5 years after President John F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy's brother, had been assassinated, and just a matter of a couple of months after Martin Luther King had been assassinated. What was the feeling like at that time?
My first reaction was just genuine anger. I thought, what has this society come to, that we kill first President Kennedy just at the height of his presidency, and then Martin Luther King, and now Robert Kennedy? It just seemed like there was almost a slaughter going on of these key, brilliant leaders that had inspired millions of Americans to hope for a better life. My second reaction, I turned to Elner and said, you know, one bullet is not going to kill Robert Kennedy. He's one of the toughest and strongest and most resilient human beings I've ever known. They're not going to bring him down with a single bullet. But of course it went into his brain, And a few hours later, it was announced that he was dead at the age of 42.
And as you mentioned that, I think back to being a youngster in grade school, and I was in a Catholic school, so we came in that morning, and we had already heard what had happened by then, but we were asked to pray for Bobby Kennedy, who unfortunately did not pull through. He was doing very well in the presidential race. As I mentioned, he had won South Dakota and California on the day that he was shot. The country was fractured, as you well know, divided even in the Democratic Party over the war in Vietnam. To what extent do you think that Bobby Kennedy, had he lived, might have been able to create unity within the party, if not the country, had he gone on to the convention in Chicago, which ended up being a riotous affair?
I think that's probably unlikely. This was before the so-called McGovern reforms went into effect, when presidential nominees were picked largely by a small group of individuals in each state. In 1968, the year Robert Kennedy was killed and my friend Hubert Humphrey was a candidate, Hubert had most of the delegates to that 68 convention already sewed up, even though he never entered a single primary contest. You didn't have to enter primaries then in order to be selected by the powers that be in the party. So I think it was unlikely that even a dynamic, powerful figure like Robert Kennedy could have gotten enough delegates to control the convention.
That having been said, what kind of a president would he have made? A lot of people wanted to see him get to the White House.
Well, everyone who knows me knows how highly I regarded President John Kennedy, but I honestly think that had it not been for this turn that took Robert Kennedy away from us, that if he hadn't have made it in 68, he sooner or later would have gotten to the White House. And I think in view of the additional experience he had had in working closely with John Kennedy, he might have turned out to be an even greater president than John Kennedy. I'm quite sure of that. I should tell you, I was a dear friend of all the Kennedys, but especially Bobby. He and I hit it off right at the very beginning. So we were very, very good friends, and I think the country lost enormously when he went down a victim of the assassin's bullet.
And you mentioned being close to the Kennedy family. You were the first director of President John F. Kennedy's Food for Peace program. So you had a chance to work with the Kennedy administration, and then when you were elected to the Senate, had a chance to be Bobby Kennedy's colleague. You were close to both men. When you say that Bobby Kennedy would have been the better president, what were the qualities that you saw that would have made him so?
Well, let me say this. There were two Robert Kennedys. There was a Robert Kennedy before his brother, the president, was killed. And then in the anguish over that tragic loss, the sorrow, the long hours of desolation, he emerged a more compassionate, a more caring person, and a wiser person. He also had the observation of the Vietnam War, not from the standpoint of someone who had taken us in there, but as an observer. And once he got to the Senate, he began speaking against the war in Vietnam, even though President John Kennedy and later President Johnson were the ones that took us into Vietnam. So he had that very important lesson being learned from the Kennedy administration, his brother's administration, and President Johnson, And I say he would have been a greater president because there wouldn't have been any more Vietnams or any more Iraqs, these foolish enterprises that have taken the lives of so many young Americans and so many people in the countries that we occupied. And that alone would have probably made him a greater president than President Kennedy.
We're talking with former South Dakota Senator George McGovern, who was a colleague of Bobby Kennedy's. What do you remember about him campaigning out here in South Dakota? I know he had a chance to visit with farmers. He, of course, made the famous visit to Pine Ridge. How would you characterize his connection and the connections that he made with the citizens of South Dakota?
Well, South Dakotans really went for Robert Kennedy. As you pointed out, the two other opponents he had for the presidential delegates in South Dakota were Hubert Humphrey, who was born and reared in South Dakota. Hubert spent his first 26 years in South Dakota, and Gene McCarthy was born in North Dakota. And so he was running against two other Dakotans, one from South Dakota and one from North Dakota, yet he got more votes than the two of them combined. I think that's remarkable. The last appearance he made in South Dakota was at the Corn Palace here in Mitchell. I introduced him that night, and he didn't do very well in his speech. I think he was fatigued beyond measure. And he his speech didn't go over very well, so he did something very wise. He threw it open to questions from the floor, even in that big auditorium at the Corn Palace, and people started throwing questions at him, and that brought him back to his usual passionate style, and he ended up very well. When I went with him to the plane the next morning, he had a small propeller-driven plane. He had a little dog with him, and as he stood with his dog in the doorway of that plane, he suddenly looked fragile and small to me and somewhat forlorn. I had just a note of sadness. It isn't that I thought I'd never see him again, but for some reason or other, I looked at him. I could hardly keep from shedding tears, and I managed to smile and wave to him. He took off, and that's the last I saw him alive.
And now with Teddy Kennedy suffering from health problems with his malignant tumor, and he's just gone through surgery for that, there's no telling when or even if he'll return to the Senate. Certainly we would hope that he would make it back, but at some point we're going to see an end to the Kennedy era. The three major figures in the family, John F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, and Teddy Kennedy, have had an enormous impact on the political landscape in America. Senator McGovern, how would you gauge the impact they've had and what the extent of their political legacy is?
Well, it's one of the most remarkable families in the history of American politics. I talked to Senator Ted Kennedy on the phone about a week ago, and he was his usual optimistic self. He laughed heartily a couple of times, but he knows he's very ill. And he said, you know, I've been healthy all of my life except for this back problem that he got from an airplane accident. But he said, I never expected anything like this to hit me. So he knows it's deadly serious. I told him we were all praying for him, and he says, well, that's what it's going to take now. And he's been a remarkable senator, I think one of the greatest in American history. He and I came to the Senate the same day, 46 years ago. He must be one of the longest serving senators in the history of the Senate, and he's been a very productive one. He gets to his office early every morning and leaves in the evening, works all day long, probably has one of the best staffs in the history of the Senate, but he himself has been a tremendously productive and effective senator. No matter what happens to Ted, and I hope and pray that he'll live a long life, the Kennedys are going to be around for a long time. I noticed that Caroline, President Kennedy's daughter, is one of three people that has been appointed by Barack Obama to help him select the right vice presidential running mate. So, and there are other Kennedys that are in the Congress, and those are big families, and they're all quite creative people. So I think they're going to be on the scene for a long time.
Before I let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the developments of this week. It looks as though Senator Clinton will be officially finally taking your advice that you had given weeks ago, that she depart the presidential race and clear the path for Barack Obama. As the events have unfolded this week, what have your thoughts been about what's gone on?
Well, I must say I'm very impressed with her tenacity, with her courage, with her bravery, and I think she's been speaking better as the campaign has moved along. But I was glad to read the news bulletins today that she's going to pull out of the race next Saturday and throw her support to Barack Obama. This, by any kind of test, should be a Democratic year. I can't imagine us not capturing the presidency this year. And thanks to Senator Hillary Clinton and to Senator Barack Obama, they have activated millions of people that weren't in politics before. And I think it's great that they're now going to be on the same team and working together. I must say that the closest friend the Kennedys have had in South Dakota is my friend Bill Daugherty of Sioux Falls. President Kennedy thought highly of him. Robert Kennedy thought he was the key person in his operations in South Dakota, and he was. And Ted Kennedy has the highest regard for Bill Daugherty, so I'm not his only friend in South Dakota. Bill Daugherty stands at the top of the list, and rightly so.
Well, it's interesting that you should mention that, because Bill Daugherty is going to be our next guest, and in fact, we have him on the phone right now. Would you like to say a quick hello to Bill?
I would, yes.
Bill Daugherty, who was Bobby Kennedy's campaign manager in South Dakota 40 years ago, joining us now on the line from Sioux Falls. Bill, welcome to the program. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
Say hi to Senator McGovern.
Hi, George.
Hey, hi, Bill. I've just been saying some good things.
I know, I heard it. Gee, what do I have to do to, you know, you shouldn't be telling all those lies to people.
Take me out for a cup of coffee the next time in Sioux Falls.
Okay, great.
Senator,
all the best, Bill.
Thank you.
And Senator McGovern, I know that you have to depart for a luncheon. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Likewise. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Senator George McGovern joining us to remember Bobby Kennedy on the 40th anniversary of his assassination. And Bill Daugherty, of course, stick around, please, because we will be chatting with you in our next segment here on Dakota Midday. Again, Bill Daugherty was Bobby Kennedy's campaign manager in South Dakota, a state he won just before he was assassinated. We'll talk to Bill Daugherty about that, and also take your questions and comments, your memories of Bobby Kennedy. Where were you on the day that he died? 1-800-456-0766 is the number to call. This is Dakota Midday. I'm Paul Guggenheimer on SDPB Radio. Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and again, today is June 5th, 2008. It was 40 years ago today, shortly after midnight, in a ballroom at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, that Senator Robert F. Kennedy was shot in the head at close range by Sirhan Sirhan. Following the shooting, Kennedy was rushed to the hospital, where he died the next day. Kennedy was a candidate for president, and he had just won both the California and South Dakota primaries. The campaign manager for Bobby Kennedy here in South Dakota was Bill Daugherty, and he joins us now live on the phone from Sioux Falls. Bill Daugherty, welcome again to Dakota Midday. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about, as I started when I spoke to Senator McGovern, the logical place to start is where were you when you heard the news that Senator Kennedy had been shot?
I was in bed, home, sleeping. I got a phone call from a friend of mine that worked at Western Union in Sioux Falls at that time. And he said he said Bill, and I said, yeah, and he said, they just shot Bob Kennedy in L.A., and I said, that can't be right. I just saw him. I just talked to him on the phone about an hour and a half ago, and he said, no, there. So I turned on the TV set, and there was Steve Smith calling for a doctor, and kind of horrible deal.
How did you become Robert Kennedy's campaign manager?
Well, I first met him in 1959. He came out to South Dakota, and he was setting up a presidential campaign for his brother. See, most people don't forget that he ran that campaign with an iron hand, incidentally, for John F. Kennedy. And he went around South Dakota trying to find somebody to be the campaign manager for him, and he couldn't find anybody but a fellow. Friend of mine in a sale barn out. I was in the cattle business at that time. A friend of mine in a sale barn out in Miller told him to go to Sioux Falls. Maybe I'd be interested in it. So he came down to Sioux Falls and he called me up. I'd never heard of John Kennedy before. I was, you know, just graduated from college. So anyway, he took my wife and I to dinner at the Cataract Hotel. I'll never forget it because that was really, I don't think we'd ever been in the big dining room there. When we walked out of there, he convinced me to be their chairman in South Dakota, which I didn't think would be much of a job, but I said I'd do it. So I did, went on from there. We were successful.
What were the odds that you had to overcome, that Bobby Kennedy had to overcome to win in South Dakota, to win the primary here in a state where he was not considered the favorite?
Well, I'll tell you what. We campaigned pretty hard. We had a lot of people come in here and help us. A lot of good people, and we were very well organized. They had a good plan. It was Bob Kennedy's plan that the way you run a campaign in a state, you kind of take the state like it's a country or a whole country, and you run it that way, county by county, city by city, street by street. And that's the way we did it. And it's one of the first campaigns I've ever run like that in South Dakota. Now they're all run that way. But anyway. And then the Kennedys, when you work with them, if you're the head of the state, if Bob Kennedy came to South Dakota, I had to be with him at all times. If Ted Kennedy came to South Dakota, I had to be with him at all times. If John Kennedy came, John Kennedy only came once or twice, I think. He came once before he was elected, and then he came, I was there with the Hawaii Dam out in Pier. They dedicated it, and he came out for it. But anyway, and then we went down to Pine Ridge, I think, really helped us. Because we got a huge Indian vote.
How did Bobby Kennedy connect with people in South Dakota? For example, when he went to Pine Ridge, this was unusual for...
Well, let me go a little farther. You get the flavor of it.
Sure.
We brought him in, and I think it was the middle of May. We brought him in. I went up to Fargo and got on the plane in Fargo. They'd been campaigning in North Dakota and came down with him on the plane. And we had a deal. I set up a deal here in Sioux Falls. The business community didn't really think too much of the Kennedys, especially Bob Kennedy, because he'd been attorney general and kind of tough on them. So I wanted to kind of see if we could get him some votes out of the business community in Sioux Falls. So we set up a question and answer period with five businessmen down at the community playhouse, which is now the Orpheum Theater, or was the Orpheum Theater. Anyway. So he gave a very nice speech. We had to play jam. In fact, they were lined up outside. So that was a success. But then they got answering some questions. And a fellow stood up and he said, Senator Kennedy said, what do you think about the Sioux Falls Urban Renewal Project? And boy, I'm sitting there, I about fell off my chair. I said, why would he ask a question like that? He doesn't know anything about it. And he said, Bob Kennedy says, I'm glad you asked that question. He said, you know, when I got out of bed this morning, I said to Ethel, we've got to do something about that Sioux Falls Urban Renewal Project. And everybody died laughing, see, just like you are now. That's the way he was. And he had this wonderful sense of humor. I think people forget that. He really had a great sense of humor. And then so we go to Brookings. We fly up to Brookings. We had a big crowd there in the Municipal Auditorium in Brookings. And we had the same question and answer period because this is an agriculture, supposed to be kind of an agriculture hearing. So finally this farmer stood up out in the audience and he says, "What do you know about farming?" And I thought, uh-oh. But he went up to the microphone and he said, "I know a lot about farming because every morning I get up, I got 9 children, we get out and have breakfast, we eat a lot of your products." And the whole place just died laughing.
A lot of milk and a lot of food.
So then we went to Huron. And flying to Huron, see, there's Humphrey Drug in Huron, which was Hubert Humphrey's brother. His dad, they had that, and Hubert worked there until he was 29 years old, I think. But anyway, I set up, I set the deal up with my advance people, so we had it right on the main street of Huron, and right across the street was Humphrey Drug from where he was speaking. So I told him about it, and he said, "Do you think I ought to say something about Humphrey Drug?" And I said, "Yeah, I think you should." So anyway, he gets up there and he said, "I'll tell you what, if I get elected president," he said, "I'm going to buy all my prescriptions at Humphrey Drug." And then when he was through speaking, he walked across the street and went in the drugstore and bought a, Saturday before Mother's Day was Sunday. He bought a box of candy for his mother. And then the next stop was Rapid City. And we got into Rapid City very late. It was 8 o'clock at night, and we were supposed to be there at 6. But one thing about the Kennedys, they're always late. But anyway, we had a huge crowd, just a huge crowd. And he was retired then. He thought, that was the biggest day I've ever had with him. Then the next time he came to the state, I wanted him to go to Pine Ridge. The only way you could get to Pine Ridge, we had two planes. One with staff and a few people, and the rest of them were all TV stations and New York Times, and all the big shots were there. So anyway, we had to land in Chatter, Nebraska, and then we had to bus up to Pine Ridge. So we got up to Pine Ridge, and Billy Mills Hall was just jammed. They're out on the street and everything, so he really connected. But then they tried to convince him to go up to Wounded Knee. Well, I was kind of against it because we were supposed to be in Seattle, Washington that night. So we went up to Wounded Knee. We bussed up there and everything, and it was a great deal. It was just a wonderful deal. The pictures were in Life magazine all over, and he was really taken by it. One of my favorite pictures, I've got one around someplace, is a picture of Bob Kennedy holding hands with this young Indian boy. And he felt really a lot. I mean, I think the Indians felt that he felt them. I mean, you know, sometimes you can't fool people. You can, you know, I've been a guilty of it myself. But he was sincere. And so then I was riding in the car with him all this time, too. Then we got up to Seattle, and he went on to Oregon, and we went back to Chicago and then back to Sioux Falls that night. That's the last time I ever saw him in person.
We're talking with Bill Daugherty, who was Bobby Kennedy's campaign manager in South Dakota in 1968. You did have a phone conversation with him when the news came that he had won South Dakota. Is that
correct?
Yeah. And what was that like?
Well, Steve Smith called me. Steve Smith was his brother-in-law, and he's... When Bobby Kennedy wasn't around, he was the guy that was the boss of everything. And he was a great guy. But anyway, he called me up and he said, we had this big party. We won, you know. Polls closed, we won. Big. We got 52% of the vote. Humphrey got 28% and McCarthy got the rest. And so we had a lot of people working, and they all came over. We put on a party for them over at the Cataract Hotel up in the ballroom. And they set up this phone deal where he called me, and then, you know, it was a speaker phone. It went out through the people, the audience, and he called me up, and he said, thank you for everything, and blah, blah, blah. And then he said, I said, "Senator, you want to hear the vote on the Pine Ridge?" Remember, we went to Pine Ridge, and everybody kind of laughed because they were all mad at me about it for taking him up there. But he wasn't. He said, yeah, I sure do remember that trip. And I said, I'm going to give you the vote in Shannon County. I said, it's 828 for Kennedy. I think it was 24 for Humphrey and 12 for McCarthy, or close to that anyway. I can't remember the real. And he said to me, thank all the Indians for me, will you? I knew the white man should have never come through this country. Of course, everybody laughed, you know. And then he said, well, I've got to go downstairs now. I said, I think we just won California. He said, I'm going to try to get back to South Dakota to see you before the convention. And he said, but we really appreciate everything you people have done out there. That was it. So then I went home. I was so tired. I've been going since. I really started working for him St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. And so I was just tired. I went home and went to bed, and that's when I got that call.
We're talking with Bill Daugherty, Bobby Kennedy's campaign manager, and if you have memories that you'd like to share or just talk about where you were when you heard the news that Bobby Kennedy had been shot, 1-800-456-0766 is the number to call. And maybe there's somebody out there who met Bobby Kennedy when he was campaigning here. We'd love to hear from you as well. You can also email us at midday@sdpb.org. Bill, you described what it was like to get that phone call with the tragic, horrible news.
I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. You know, I couldn't believe it. But I stayed there and watched TV, and I saw, you know, when they had him down on the floor there, and the blood was running out of the back of his head. They had a lot of cameras there, of course, you know, because, see, he was leaving through the back. He wasn't supposed to go that way, but he wanted to get there fast. And you don't say no to Bob Kennedy very often, you know what I mean? So he went. And that's where I don't know why that Saran Saran was back in the kitchen, because that wasn't a regular route. He must have known. I don't think he knew anything. He just maybe got mixed up. And so they started popping away at him, and they got him. They shot, and everybody forgets they shot four other people there, too.
That's a very important point to make.
Nobody else died, but the one guy, is still paralyzed. He's a labor guy from California.
And I believe one of the people who wrestled the gun from Sirhan Sirhan was Rosie Greer.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was around that whole last month.
One of the bodyguards.
He broke his wrist. Sirhan's wrist.
Let's take a phone call from Kathy in Sioux Falls, who would like to share some memories. And again, the number 1-800-456-0766. Kathy, welcome to Dakota Midday. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I was just going to say, when he was in Mitchell in May, and he came to a party at my parents' house, Bobby Kennedy did, so.
And what was that like?
It was great. We got to have all our friends over, and Secret Service were outside, and I think he had his dog with him. It was really fun.
He always had that dog with him.
Yeah, George McGovern mentioned that, too. What kind of a dog was it?
Wasn't it a Springer Spaniel?
Springer Spaniel, that's right.
Yeah.
It seems unusual for the candidate. You know, the presidents, have their pets around, but for the candidate to do it, that had to be probably a first.
Yeah.
And did you get to talk to him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was an actual, he was at the Corn Palace, and then my parents had a reception for him. And so, I mean, it was a big party.
And how was it that they ended up getting to host this?
Well, my dad, is Mr. Daugherty on?
Yes, he is.
He might have known Bob for sure.
Oh, I'll say I know him.
Yeah, and
very
so.
Very well.
Yeah, and they were kind of big in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they were.
And so they were the ones that hosted the party in Mitchell, and also another time when Ted Kennedy came. I think that was maybe more in the 60s. Or wait.
70s.
When Ted Kennedy came, was he campaigning for John, though, earlier on?
Well, he was early on, but later on he was campaigning for himself because he ran against Jimmy Carter in the primary in 1970.
I think when he came to a party at our house also, but I think that was earlier than when Bobby came. So
okay.
I think maybe he was campaigning for John at the time.
That would have been the 60s then.
Right. Earlier 60s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what was he like in person, Kathy? Because one of the things about the Kennedys in general was that you know, there were the politicians that people remember traditionally, older gentlemen, more conservative in appearance, and when the Kennedys came along, there was sort of this feeling, you know, certainly with John and Jacqueline Kennedy in the White House, and later with Bobby, that this was they were these fresh young faces.
Well, I remember I kind of was not supportive of Bobby at first, you know, because I thought he was just, you know, and I was just in high school. But when I met him at the Corn Palace, he was just so charismatic that I was just drawn into him. He was very small, but he just, you know, his energy was just very powerful. That's what I remember about him.
Hmm. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. That was great.
Okay, bye, thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks.
Bill, certainly it was a horrible night on June 5th, 1968. As time has passed, how has it been for you, being as close as you were to Bobby Kennedy, being part of an effort that was becoming successful, seeing that somewhere down the road there was a possibility that he would make it to the White House and that you might, in fact, go with him? What was it like to deal with his death and the aftermath?
Well, they sent me a telegram the next morning, and I got a telegram and said they wanted me to come to New York and be an honor guard at his funeral. So I went. I didn't want to go very bad. I said, I got tired, but I went, and got into New York, and he went downtown, and there wasn't a soul. There wasn't a car on the street. There wasn't anything. This is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He got up towards St. Patrick's Cathedral, and there must have been thousands of people there. And I had reported to this desk, and they had my name there, and they took me right through. And we went up to Steve Smith's office, which was in some big building there. I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, we stayed up there till 2 in the morning, and then it was our turn. We were the honor guards, 4 of us, around his casket in St. Patrick's Cathedral. And then, of course, the next morning we got up and the mass started at 9 o'clock. And it went on till 10 or 11. I forget. It was a great ceremony. And then we went and got on the train and went down to New York. I went down to Washington from New York. And that took 11 hours because we only go about 5 miles an hour. And there was 800 people on the train. And 750, I think it was. And we were helping out. A friend of mine by the name of Don O'Brien, who's now a judge down in Iowa, he and I, we just kind of helped the people out that were trying to run that thing and advance people. And so then we got there. We went up to cemetery, and then they had us over to Ethel Kennedy's house. When we got over there, about 2 in the morning. By that time, I was ready to die again. I was so tired. So we went down to the hotel and went to bed and didn't get up till about 2 the next day. Came home, and that was it. But I was pretty drained for a few weeks.
Hmm. And what did America lose when Bobby Kennedy was killed?
Well, you know, we'll never know for sure. I guess I'd have to say, I know you asked George that too, but I couldn't tell you. I just think that I think we would have got out of the Vietnam War a lot sooner than we did. And, you know, sort of like right now, I feel very strongly about the Iraq War, and we should just get out of there. We stay around. Well, I'm not going to go into that.
Well, you're welcome to if you like, but it's entirely up to you.
Well, what I'm saying is I think that this reminds me a little bit of what went on then, what's going on now, that, you know, we're divided in this country whether we should get in or out of Iraq. And we're spending $4 billion a month over there. And I just, you know, I feel very strongly we never should have gone in there. And I feel strongly we ought to get out as soon as we can. And, you know, that's just my opinion. And everybody has their own opinion. But the war was the big, if you go back in the 60s, and I was pretty active in the 60s. And if you go back then, the thing that really bonded everybody together, Republicans, Democrats, everybody, was the war. One side or the other, right or wrong. And it got pretty rough. I hope it doesn't get that rough this time. I don't think it will.
Well, Bill Daugherty, I want to thank you so much for sharing your memories with us and the story of Bobby Kennedy and his victory in South Dakota on the 40th anniversary of his death. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you.